Welcome to the Golf Better Podcast. I'm your host, Derek Dominski. This episode of the Golf Better Podcast is brought to you by The Stack, the most advanced speed training system in golf. When I was at the Shriners, there was one speed trainer that all the tour guys were using. It's The Stack. It has taken over as the number one speed training system. They've got a putting app that's awesome. It's developed by Marty Jurtson, the VP of Fitting at Ping. Leading golf researcher Sasha McKenzie. It's incredible. It's the tool that helped Matt Fitzpatrick gain massive distance and win the US Open. And to get your hands on one, we've got a discount code for you, GolfBetterTucson, all one word. So go to thestacksystem.com. Check it out. It will be worth your time. Tons of my students have it. They're seeing a lot of success. Club head speed is a huge factor in getting better, and you can get better with your club head speed using The Stack. All right, my friends, it is time for part two, the Q&A. You guys sent me hundreds of messages on email, DMs, text messages. We're going to roll through those. Again, the greatest experience of my life, still reliving it to this day. It's so fun to talk about. It's very motivating and inspiring to be with those players. Again, golf is my passion. I love playing it. I also love teaching it, but playing it is really where my heart and soul is at. So let's dive in to part two, the Shriners recap. Let's hop right into it. We've got just under 20 questions that we've narrowed it down to. Here's the first one. What wedge setup did you use this week? What technique did you find the most useful for yourself out there and your go-to shot? So I used the Ping Glide 4.0 wedges. I've got a 60 S10 grind. I've got a 54 S12. And then I've also got the 50 degree, actually just going through my clubs here now, S grind, 12 degrees of bounce. I've had these for, I played Vokies before. I had these for just a few rounds and they just went right into the bag. They were seamless transitioned. Again, Vokies are outstanding with these Ping wedges. Just incredible out of bunkers. They're just second to none. So my bunker game immediately got better. The spin was consistent, if not more. And again, with some of the things that they're doing with the face technology and different wetnesses, I guess you could say, and some debris, I just found they were very consistent. As far as techniques, again, I bring a lot to the table from wide to narrow. I didn't really find that any was a little bit more useful. I know the course used to be really grainy. So again, if it is ever grainy, I like to go heel up, little kind of cut spin style shot to limit the surface area of how much of the club gets in there. So, but just a lot of stock stuff. Again, the chipping around these greens, they're very elevated, a lot of runoffs. They make it look so easy. So really just getting good at hitting your spot, getting predictable contact was key. And overall, I felt like I did a really good job of that. I had a couple shots that I hit my spot. One kind of stuck, so it just turned out bad. And then just one other shot that I thought was going to be pretty good that just turned out bad. So short game I thought was outstanding, despite the stats were not necessarily my favorite, but I thought it was great. Next question, best off-course moment being part of a tour event. Huge congrats on qualifying, living out the dream. Man, yeah, so I guess we'll just kind of sum it up. The whole week was outstanding. Really got treated like royalty. My wife had a great week. Family had a great week. The attendance out there, again, if you've been to the Phoenix Open, it's just not quite the same. It's a more laid-back vibe. So that was so great. We really enjoyed it. The player dining is incredible. So even when we missed the cut, we still went, hung out, practiced a little bit. Walked around, enjoyed the food. They have smoothie bars. The food, again, is super healthy, incredible. So we had some of the greatest food just at the course. So that was outstanding. Got one here from Dylan. Outside of driving distance, what do you think was the biggest difference between you and your playing partners? That's a great question. So yeah, I would say that's definitely the biggest thing. A lot of these players, in my opinion, they're always taller than you think they are. So even when you see guys like a Zach Johnson and all that, again, there's people that are kind of normal size, I'd say, like Ricky Fowler and Rory were, you know, about what I thought but especially the modern player, they're just 6'2", 6'3", 6'4". I played with, again, Thomas Dietrich and Bramlett, who were big dudes. Just absolutely hammer it. And then just outside of that, they're all so good. Their ball flights, if you really notice, when it gets windy, their ball flights, they just compress it. They have their spin numbers so accurate. Their ball doesn't really get blown around like you would see maybe even good players at your club where the wind might take a shot or anything like that. That's just not purely struck. They really hit it nice. And then just very, it's kind of robotic. You know, it's their job. I understand. I was having an absolute blast out there just saving par, you know, after par, which was fun for what it was. But they're just their business. They're absolute golf robots. They do a lot of similar things, similar lines. They're just so good at this game. Really dialed in with their distances, which you would know to some of these tight pins. They really had their numbers dialed down. Another question here, second question. Did you see a lot of similarities between what you teach with the short game and what players at the highest level were doing on course and on the short game area? So, yeah, I've taught a couple of the players out there. And, yeah, a lot of what I teach is just, again, the cool thing with the short game, it's a nice area to some extent. Again, I love teaching the swing, but I love teaching short game at the highest level to these players. The swing stuff is a little bit more of kind of their job. So some of the players that I've helped with short game, because they're so good at everything else, like they need the short game to come up. So that's been really cool. But yeah, they're all, you know, for the most part, you'll see some guys out there kind of struggling to work with their coach. Some of the guys aren't the best short game players. You'll see some that were really good. I didn't get to see Cantlay out there, but watching Tom Kim, I just kind of watched him a little bit. He was pretty cool to see. So yeah, a lot of what I teach is what they're doing, and it's just fun to see them short game. You know, again, we watch these guys on the course and they're outstanding. You watch them in practice and it's just robotically awesome. So just really cool to see. Next question here from Keith. Who are some of the standout players that were nice to you? Any specific names? The list is quite long here. So besides, like, you know, Max and Trevor and a few other guys I know, I was not afraid to introduce myself and say, hey, Derek Dominski, you know, I'm a teaching pro. I qualified for the event. And they were all so nice. They're very supportive. To name a few, Michael Gligic, I believe his name, Canadian guy, bomber, super nice. So the coaches out there were outstanding. I saw Joseph Mayo, Jeff Smith, they were so nice. Sean Foley, David Woods, they were so nice. Gareth Rafluski, Canadian dude, awesome short game coach. He was so nice. Mark Blackburn, incredibly nice to me. Phil Kenyon, incredibly nice. Some of the standout ones, I guess, I don't know Gary Woodland at all, but he was overly nice to me. He kind of went out of his way to just say, hey, good luck this week, and just really doing some nice things. I know he gets voted a lot. One of the nicest players on tour, and it just absolutely showed. He was so nice to me. Introduced myself to Harrison Endicott. He was so nice to me. Ricky Fowler was great. Again, we kind of talked to him about the incident where Aaron thought we were going to go out to eat with him and his wife. He was super fun about that. Jared Sawada, who I met a Monday tour, Monday qualifier, we shot like 10 under. He was awesome. And congrats to him on making, he's got his Korn Ferry status now. He just completed that. Vince Whaley came up to me and was like, hey man, I follow you. So nice. Him and his caddy, they were just outstanding. Just quite a bit. I'm trying to think. I don't want to leave anyone else off. But those people, everyone was, again, just so kind. The staff, very nice. The players, again, they're in business mode. But it was cool. I talked to Jason Day for a little bit. He was so nice. We've got a mutual buddy in Nate Bergetzi. He was telling me that they're going to play at the Pebble Beach, which they just announced, which is awesome. So the players, they're in their zone. But in general, when you introduce yourself and all that, and they kind of find out the situation, overly nice. Dylan Fratelli was super nice. Austin Cook was super nice. Oh, I could get lost in the names, but just a lot of great dudes out there. Again, they're playing golf for money. They kind of realize where things are at. So really great. Really great. Let's see. Next one here from Jason. Congrats on the amazing week. Such an unbelievable accomplishment to play on the PGA Tour event, regardless of making the cut or not. I continually search for your golf content and wish you nothing but the best in your teaching or playing career. You inspire us. What is the next event that you would love to play? So that's a great question. I obviously would love to play in the Phoenix Open. I know it's a different ballgame from some of the PGA guys who have played in it before because it's just absolute chaos. But I feel like, again, I was pretty comfortable at the Shriners playing. I wasn't as nervous as I thought I'd be for a few reasons. Again, I teach a lot of big groups. I had a pretty nice following, so I felt like I was pretty comfortable. And then the holes that did have the galleries and the grandstands, I felt pretty comfortable. Now, again, I know it's just not even close to the same animal, so I can't say that that would be the case. But, of course, just being up the rail at the Phoenix Open would be absolute dream come true. It's very motivating. I hope I do get to play in some more events. In general, how was the golf course? What did you think of TPC Summerlin? Have you played it before? So no, I had not played it before. Again, the course opened up before we got to play it. And I thought it was in great shape. I thought they got, you know, it's kind of soft at first, but man, they can firm it up quick. I thought the greens were fast, even though for them, you know, it's like 11 and a half was just not that fast. But for me, just a little bit on the spicy side. Course was great. I know it wasn't quite as grainy as normal, so I think that's why it played a little bit easier. Conditions were perfect. Weather was awesome. You could see why the scores were that way. But yeah, awesome course. If you've ever played TPC Scottsdale, it's definitely a similar vibe. So I thought that was nice. It really wasn't, there's nothing really tricky about it. So I think I got, did I even get two full practice rounds in? I got one and then a nine holes. And it just, I didn't feel like I needed a ton more than that. So it was kind of right in front of you, which was definitely nice. Next up from Holt. Trying to think of something that won't get asked. Maybe a misconception of tour events that you realized through playing one. It's a great question. I think, again, what you don't always see is these guys, they're absolutely grinders. So they're there early, they're practicing, they practice after. They're very business. So you see that, but man, they work so hard. The players that make the cut, they're grinding hard after. You can kind of tell who's playing well and not necessarily. But even that Sunday when we were walking the course, you know, we saw like Ricky Fowler out there, Gary Woodland out there, and I think Ricky putted for like three or four hours. So you just kind of forget that these guys take it really seriously, and that is why they're so good. So for a lot of these aspiring players that want to play well, when you see these guys, and I've been able to help, you know, some of them, and you see how hard they work, it's not just by luck. They are putting in the hours. So I'd say that that's something that maybe doesn't always get seen or thought about, is really how hard they work to make sure everything is clicking. Question about the qualifier here. So coming down the stretch in that Thursday qualifier, how did you feel knowing that you had a chance to play in a PGA Tour event? That was, again, I've got that podcast two ago talking more about that. But you're trying to put it out of your mind. I know that the score, the conditions, the score is usually pretty low. We've got a lot of great players. So I felt like I had to keep making birdies, which was nice. I didn't check. You can check the leaderboard. I didn't check any of that. I just knew I had to keep making birdies. Again, it's got to be so tricky for all these Mondays. At that point, you almost can never coast, and it's almost just worth your time to just try to birdie every hole and live with it rather than maybe think you have it, kind of par in, and then just find out that you just got waxed. So that was nice. Again, after I made the last putt for par, which was a little bit nervy because I thought, you know, I was like, hey, this could be to do it, but I've always been able to free it up, trust it. I could live with missing the putt. Not that I'm focused on that, but I can live with any result, which really helps you free it up. So that was that. Oh, this is a good one. What's a shot you regret the most and a shot that you're most proud of? That's a great question. I mean, just overall, I knew I was going to hit some poor shots. And so I was comfortable with one I hit in the bush, some I hit just all over the map. I knew that that was going to be the case. I think a few... I had kind of a three putt. I think it was on hole 10 the first day. There was just a couple, kind of like that, because I thought that that one, I just left the putt short in the heart, but I shouldn't have maybe got quite as aggressive there. So I'd say just kind of some of the simple stuff. I always hate three putting. I always hate not getting simple up and downs in. Shots I was most proud of. Oh, man. I mean, my opening tee ball was fine. It's kind of a couple of the early par putts. That bunker shot on three, the third hole of the day was awesome. The walking in the putt and the shot on four was awesome. So, yeah, I had some great shots there. I hit some really nice shots into the par five. The bummer is I drove it so bad on the par fives, which you had to take advantage of. Again, for these guys at their length, it is definitely a par 67. Because you can take care of the fives and the drivable-ish par four. Seventh. Hit some really nice shots though into, I believe it's 16, and unfortunately I didn't hit some okay putts there, but just probably a couple of those birdie putts I wish I would have maybe trusted myself on a little bit more, and a couple of the short game shots that you just get a little bit nervous and you have to realize and just trust your gut and just go with it. Where do you need to improve the most in your game? This is a great question. We've got another one following this. That will be good too. So for myself, again, I putted great. I gained strokes on tour putting. My short game I thought was great overall with, you know, for the limited, you know, just not being able to practice a ton, but I don't feel like I necessarily need to, just kind of feel in touch. Putting was great. Short game was fine. Bunker play was good. Inside 100 was good because I have a system. Those numbers, actually, statistically, when you look at them, they're going to be very good. They're going to probably be towards tour leading. Again, my sample size is so small, so it's not a fair fight. But I felt like I've got some cheat codes in there. But what it comes down to is just, it's just my distance. I'd have to continue to gain speed and gain distance to play with these players and some of the members of the club. Again, super supportive, super nice. But they're like, are you going to try to go for it? Are you going to do all this? And just knowing what it would take to gain tons of speed to even just sniff competing. And then that, and then just my swing's got to get back online. This next question here, when you said your swing was off for the week, what did you mean by that? So for myself, I used to hit the ball really good. Unfortunately, it's been a while. And that's just lines for me. Currently, it's... The club's a little bit closed, inside, up, little bit across line at the top, kind of flip stall at the bottom. And then just in my prime, it was essentially just straight up and down the plane. And recently, unfortunately, not for the event, but the last event I played with my buddy Matt, I hit it pretty nice. I wish I would have hit it that good in the event, but I think I'm onto some things. I used to be a little bit deeper at the top, but it was just very simple, right on line. I used to really hit it great. So that's what needs to improve. It's very motivating. I've just got to get my swing back online. It's a little bit closed in, shut, across, stall, flip. So I've got great hands. I can get away with stuff, again, through shot shape, which is fine. But they all hit it pretty straight. Their swings are very dialed. They're not saving a lot of shots. It's just very clean. So that's where I've got to get better there. Next question, how mentally challenging is it to go from the range to the first tee and keep it going? This is a great question. So for myself, I've never really, if I hit it good on the range, I'll hit it good on the course. And the reason why, and this, I'm always a little bit surprised for some people, because there are certain things that I am working on, I'm focused on. It's very tangible. It's not just I go out there and don't feel anything and I get to the course and it doesn't work. So usually if I'm not hitting it great on the range, I can find some ways to hit it good on the course. And if I'm hitting it great on the range, I will go hit it great on the course. It's rarely anything else because I have certain things that I'm trying to do that are working on the range, and I can take those directly to the course. That's always been a little bit of a surprise to me. So if I hit it bad on the range, I can improve it on the course. And if I hit it great on the range, I will just hit it great on the course because it's very tangible. So that's a great question. So for me, again, the challenge, though, was just knowing I wasn't hitting it that good. And then going to the first tee, I was just ready to battle. I was ready to hit it anywhere. I was ready to make a lot of putts. So you're just kind of prepared for that. Of course, I would love to just ball strike the course to death. So the only challenging thing was just kind of knowing where my game was at going into a PGA Tour event. I wish I would have been like striping on the range because I know I would have hit it good in the event. So that's my question for or answer to that. Great question here. Who's the best ball striker you've been around on tour? So again, I've been around, right? Because you'll see a lot of these guys, but of course, Max Homa hits it. Just, he does everything so well. So absolute ball striker, driving machine, just, you know, personally just knowing him and kind of seeing him a lot, it's just really incredible. But just in general, when you go watch these guys hit, no one's really hitting it. They'll hit some bad shots. They'll be a little bit off, but they all hit it really nice. Like, Bramlett wasn't quite as tight as Dietrich, but just watching Dietrich that first day, I mean, he shot, I think, 6 under, just doing nothing. Just so solid, very tight. Again, they're all online, just small curves either way. Just really, really clean. But Max, I'll take Max over anyone. Next question. Things casual fans don't appreciate enough about how good the pros are. Yeah, I would say, even at this event, so for me, I thought the greens were quick. I thought the pins were spicy because if you know, a little bit with the factoring in, which I hate to do, but it did seem to have some type of factor, factoring in the strip. So you've got some of these putts, they're going away from the strip or towards the strip. And then if you go past, it literally can roll off the green. And I'm talking like 2 steps past, like 3 to 4 steps past, and they just never do that. They make these pins look so easy through their ball striking, through their, really their putting. Their speed control is incredible, but they really make these pins that I would say were very tricky. They just make them look so benign. So when you see them putting, and they're really good at little slider putts that are outside the hole, they're really good at green reading, really good at hitting a lot of great putts. They really hit a ton of great putts. And if they miss, it's just due to like a misread or something like that. There's not a lot of terrible strokes or anything like that. But on the greens, and they make these pins look so easy. Great question here. Any tips on controlling nerves stepping onto that first tee? And that's a great question. And it's a great separator in players that can make it and players that don't. Some are great in pressure situations. I've always liked tests. I've never been afraid to fail. I think that's a big part. I was ready to go out there and look like a goofball, but because I know I could handle that. So I felt like that helped me free it up. I don't know anyone who plays better golf when they're super tense, but when when you're out there with your buddies and you free it up, you tend to play better. So you've got to find some ways to do that. Throughout the week, I was reading, just recapping some Bob Rotella stuff that's very simple. Just, again, you're nervous, but you can still focus on your ball going to the target. Even if you don't want to, even if you're feeling other things, you can focus on some proper things. So some Bob Rotella books, again, Zen Golf, breathing stuff. I've always felt like I can control myself pretty well. But again, the nerves get to a lot of golfers, and it's a great separator between players that do make it and players that don't. Okay, 3 more questions here. Simple one. How can I drive it further? This is a great question. And again, the stack system is the system I saw a lot of the tour players using. It's the best system, in my opinion, for gaining speed. There's a few things you can do. Again, I'll have some golfers, and some of the nice ones, if they want to gain speed, are the ones that don't use their lower body well in the backswing and have like a short backswing. So again, to like create some amount of a longer arc using their legs, I feel like, you know, feet still head down really hampers a ton of golfers. It's old adages like that, that really, And again, whatever works is totally fine, but feet down head still has people just not moving well. So again, getting people to use their feet, use their legs, lengthen your swing. And I also tell people, you don't have to swing like that all the time. It's okay to have a super long drive gear. That doesn't mean you have to hit every shot that way. So it's okay to have an extra gear. A lot of tour players do. If you watch like a Justin Thomas, some other guys, they'll start picking up their lead foot and things like that. But the stack system, if you really are serious, and I know I have a ton of serious golfers on this podcast, thestacksystem.com, use code GOLFBETTERTUCSON. One word. Again, I get nothing from it. I just want to get you guys a coupon code, so it doesn't matter to me. But I just can't recommend any other systems because the only one I saw on the PGA Tour was the stack. Next question. Did you use some Decade Golf-esque strategizing this week? I absolutely did. Scott Fawcett, we had about an hour FaceTime call. He sent me some information. He went above and beyond to help me, so I can't thank him and his stuff enough. It is just the best course management system that's available. You can go to get the Decade app. I think his first month of videos is all free, so I don't know how you pass that up. And then just all the players that you see at the college level and a ton of tour players that are using his system, it's just so logical. It's so simple. I just can't recommend it enough. Again, you can do whatever you want, and course management is a huge factor in why people do not play to their potential. So I can't recommend Scott Fawcett, Decade Golf, enough. But yes, he was outstanding. He helped my caddy out, helped myself out. So we had a great Decade plan going into it. It was just the lack of execution on my part. But again, it was fun. Last question. What was the biggest difference playing with the guys on tour? So yeah, I would just say the cool thing with it is being able to help some of the golfers I've been able to help and currently help. Really, I wasn't starstruck by being around them. And I think that's where a lot of the PGA professionals maybe get a little bit more starstruck. But thankfully, I've been able to work with a ton of them. Biggest difference, though, again, they just hit it so far. They're big. They hit it far. They're only getting bigger. They're only hitting it further. And they're just golf robots. They're absolutely dialed in. And again, this is their job. The stakes are getting higher and higher with LIV coming into the equation and with PGA Tour coming into the equation, making more money. So it's a high stakes game. They take it very seriously, but it was an absolute blast. And I hope to play with them again soon. Thank you all so much for tuning in to part 2 of the Shriners Recap. Again, the greatest week of my life. Thank you all so much for all the messages. You are all the best. We've got some more podcasts, I'm sure, that will be on the way. Thank you so much. Like, subscribe, share this with your friends. Go over some of our past podcasts. Again, we're going to have some great coaches coming on in the future. We've had some great coaches coming on that were on in the past. So can't thank you enough. GolfBetterPodcast.com is the site. Again, if you want the stack system, Golf Better Tucson, one word, is the coupon code for you to use. Thank you so much. Be sure to like us and follow us on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. We've got some awesome things in store for the end of this year, as well as coming into the following year. We're going to be launching the new Derek Dominski Golf site with all the cleaned up, edited, awesome videos and a ton of content coming to help you all play better golf. Until next time.